Hi, this is Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out the podcast for Connecting Faith. You can hear the show each Monday through Thursday at noon Central. And remember, there are even more shows available on our website, myfaithradio.com.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hey, welcome to the program again today. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Neil Stavem, and this is Connecting Faith. And it's warm and comfortable here. So, well, just if you need a place that just doesn't feel like, you know, it's quite so cold and nasty. So, yeah. Little nippy around the edges, around the region, but
yeah.
This is why we live here and not in Florida like Howard Dayton does. So.
Howard.
And why? I'm not quite sure, I guess. Howard Dayton is with us today. We're excited about today's broadcast. Opportunity, by the way, for you to get some good financial advice. You hear Howard every weekday afternoon at 2:30 on MoneyWise with Howard Dayton and Steve Moore. And we invited him on to join us here on Connecting Faith today. And welcome your calls and questions today if you have some specific concerns, whether it's related to investing or, you know, budgeting or some plans for the new year. So we'll open up the phone lines actually right away, and you can queue up at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484, or you can always drop us a note on email. If you go to our website, myfaithradio.com, then click on the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link there. So let me introduce Howard to you. You hear him every afternoon, a part of Faith Radio. He graduated from Cornell University, served as a naval officer, and after developing a successful railroad-themed restaurant in Orlando, Florida, Howard began his commercial real estate development career in 1972, specializing in office development. But after a business partner challenged him to study the Bible to discover what God teaches about handling money, Howard's life was profoundly changed. The Lord gave him a passion to share these life-changing principles, and that's resulted in several books, Your Money, Frustration or Freedom, Your Money Counts, Free and Clear, Your Money Map, and Money and Marriage God's Way. And I think we've got a couple of copies of Money and Marriage God's Way we'll give away here at the end of the show today. But Howard founded Crown Ministries back in 1985, which merged with Larry Burkett's Christian Financial Concepts, and he transitioned to Compass in 2009, and he and his wife have a couple adult children and a couple of grandkids. Howard, did we get everything in there? We didn't get your bank statement.
You didn't miss anything else, Neil.
Okay.
I say I'm kind of embarrassed because you know, wind chill minus 10 where you are, and I think the heat index is 80 here in Orlando today. So.
Well, you know, over-perspiring can be a dangerous thing too, Howard. So let me just say. You may want to just have a little more ice in your tea, and we do appreciate you taking some time today to talk with us. I thought, you know, Howard, we should start out. We'll open up the phone lines, obviously, for listener questions. But I'm kind of curious, you know, it's been almost 30 years or so since you've started in a money ministry. I'm interested to get a perspective of what's changed, and maybe as you know, many of those years you've been involved in broadcasts of one form or another. So I'm wondering, are the topics different than they were 10, 15, 20 years ago?
Well, there are some, Neil, that are different. For example, we never had any calls or questions about student debt when we started. Today, there's more student debt than there is credit card debt, you know, over $1 trillion. And I heard a very disturbing statistics the other day that 40% of the 37 million people who have student loans are either in default, deferment, or forbearance. So it's a real challenge for a lot of people. And I think today there's, despite what's happening with the stock market and whatnot, there's a lot of concern that the economy is doing worse than it would have on its own without these huge federal debts that we're piling up. So those would be the two things that I think are the the biggest differences.
You know, you talked about student debt, and I guess I want to talk a little bit about advice that you give to parents. I mean, you have adult children now and a couple of grandkids, but I think we wonder about, you know, how do we help our kids? They go to college, they graduate, and start life, maybe married or whatever, out in a job, and they've got huge loans and challenges. What kind of advice do you give in terms of how we as parents should help our adult kids?
Well, the most important thing we can do, Neil, is to make sure that they do understand God's way of handling money, and that they're, using the practical, simple tools such as a budget to carefully spend and not to get sucked into a lifestyle that's too expensive for them, particularly if they're dealing with significant student debt. I mean, it's crushing, but the average student debt now is $29,000 and change when a person graduates from college. And so that's a real challenge. And when it comes to helping children, it's really more of an art than a science. Depends in part on how faithful the children are. Are they really trying? Are they, is he working not only a full-time job, but a little extra part-time job to earn money? I'm much more amenable to help my child when I see that they're really doing everything they can to be faithful themselves. And if they are in need, I do think if the parents can't afford it, it can make a huge difference in the children's financial situation. With our kids, they didn't have any student debt. They bought very modest homes, and we entered into some sort of a matching agreement with them when it came to prepaying their mortgage. They'd make the normal payment, and whatever they put extra, we'd match to a level. And so that over about a 10-year period, both of them had their homes free and clear. And we felt we weren't helping them get a more extravagant lifestyle, but we were helping them become financially healthier. And that was we were thankful we were in position to do that.
So you whatever they paid extra on the principal, you matched that. Is that right?
Right. To some level, we did help them accelerate their debt repayment. We wanted to encourage them to do that.
Good idea. I hadn't thought about that. You know, how are you? You kind of glossed over it. I know that, we hear you regularly on MoneyWise. You talk about, helping our kids, helping all of us understand God's way of handling money. I think, let's review that. We hear that phrase, but what does that really mean? Take a few minutes to give us some principles.
Yeah, the big picture, Neil, is that the Lord cares for us so much that he gave us, in the Bible, 2,350 verses dealing with money and possessions, 15% of everything that Jesus Christ said had to do with it. So it's a big deal to the Lord. Part of the reason he said so much was he realized that money would be a primary competitor with Christ for the lordship of our lives. In Matthew 6:24, Jesus tells us you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and money. You'll love one and hate the other. So he realizes that is a real potentially dangerous issue. And then just as a practical way, he revealed to us that he's the owner of everything, and we're to be managers or stewards, faithful managers or stewards, whatever he entrusts to us. And then he tells us how to give, save, get out of debt, teach our children how to be honest in the handling of our resources, really spending, how to spend wisely. I mean, he really gives us the basic foundational principles that if we apply them, can have a huge impact in terms of our financial stability long term.
You know, as we mentioned introducing you, that you were in business, successful business person, and someone challenged you to study the Bible to discover what God teaches about handling money. Was there one or two things that maybe dramatically changed for you as a process of that study, when the light came on in a new way?
Neil, I can say this. I hadn't read the Bible much at all up to that point, and I have never met anybody who needed to know these principles more than me. And literally, honestly, everything changed. Began to view money as the Lord's and not ours, and we were to be faithful to handle it His way. We were on the hook for a lot of debt. To systematically, by God's grace, pay that off. If I had given $5 a week at church before learning what He said about money, that was a huge sacrificial gift on my part. And Bev and I started to give more, and by the time we sold out of our business and started Crown, we were giving about 30% of our income away and just absolutely loving it. So there were dramatic changes in absolutely every area, Neil. And that's why I became passionate about people learning these truths because of the change that occurred in my own life.
You know, let's talk a little bit about just that giving component. I mean, it's the season of giving, and most of us, I guess, are thinking about, well, how do we give the gifts that our family, you know, wants and needs? But there's, of course, ministries even like ours. We'll have some time next week to talk about funding the ministry. But, you know, that idea of just giving significantly, even at a third, I mean, most people just say that, well, that just doesn't seem at all realistic. How did you, I guess, get there? And what's your encouragement for us today to say, how can we even envision that?
Well, I think part of it is we did make the decision. I mean, we've made so many dumb financial decisions, but one decision that we really made that made a huge difference was that we really were careful on our lifestyle decisions. Had purchased a house by the time I learned these principles, a modest three-bedroom, two-bath house, and stayed in it for 29 years, would still be there if we hadn't merged with Larry Burkett and moved to Georgia. Bev drove the same car for 17 years. I drove a truck that cost $100. It looked like it cost $100. We made those lifestyle decisions so that we could keep our spending modest, so we could give more, get out of debt quicker, and save more. That was really our thinking behind it. So that was really the most important practical thing that we did to get in a place where we could give more generously.
And it was all not something you were doing out of sort of obligation. You're just doing it out of a changed heart, right?
Well, exactly. And I love what 1 Corinthians 13:3 tells us, that if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. So unless we give out of a heart filled with love, it's of no benefit to the giver. And, I wrestled with this for a couple of years, and I concluded that the only way that we can consistently give out of a heart filled with love, Neil, is to mentally go through the process of giving each gift to the person of Christ Himself. Now, it's for the benefit of our church or a ministry like your incredibly dynamic radio station. I mean, but it's ultimately from my heart. I'm giving it to honor Christ. And when you do that, it's not an obligation to give. It's not a I gotta, but it's more I get to give. And that makes all the difference in the world.
We're talking to Howard Dayton today, founder and CEO of Compass. He's host of MoneyWise. He's authored a number of books, including Money and Marriage, God's Way. We'll talk a little bit about that coming up in a moment as well. We've got a couple of copies of that to give away. If you'd like to join the broadcast, have a question, maybe you've been listening to MoneyWise. It's a very popular program here on Faith Radio, and you've heard some discussions recently and may have prompted a question or two or something that you're wondering about, whether it's Christmas budget, or it's stock investments, or mortgages, or healthcare, whatever it might be. You're welcome to join the conversation and hear, get some good answers, some good insight from Howard Dayton. Here's the number. It's 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484, and we welcome your call as we talk more with Howard Dayton, host of MoneyWise, here on Connecting Faith.
As a listener-supported station, Faith Radio relies on friends like you to keep the great Bible-based preaching and family-friendly teaching coming. Please help Faith Radio finish 2013 financially strong with a year-end gift of support. Hi, I'm Dick Whitworth. Your friendship, prayerfully and financially, really does make a difference. If you're not already giving on a monthly basis, please consider a special year-end gift at myfaithradio.com. Thank you.
Here's Dr. Charles Stanley.
If you want to be able to be contented, that is free from frustration and worry because of unfulfilled needs or desires, the first thing you have to decide is, God, I am going to accept this situation as coming from you.
Contentment in all circumstances. This week on In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley.
Hear In Touch weekdays at 2 p.m. on Faith Radio.
A bit of Michael W. Smith there. By the way, he's in Fargo tonight, right? Concert, Fargo, tonight.
Yeah, I believe
so. And then
so.
Sioux Falls tomorrow, and then Minneapolis, St. Paul on Saturday.
So Smitty.
He'll be, I bet he'll be wearing his winter coat. That'd be just my guess. You'll want to if you have to. I hope you go. It'll be a great time, sure. And along with Third Day, but, just bundle up. You'll be heading out tonight. Howard Dayton's with us today. He's not bundled up at all. He's just, he's comfortable, and we're comfortable having him on because he's he drove a $100 truck for many years. You got to love a guy like that, don't you? I've seen that truck. Howard is the founder and CEO of Compass, host of MoneyWise. He's written several books, including Your Money Map, Free and Clear, Your Money Counts, Money and Marriage, God's Way. We've got a couple of copies of that we'll give away. And Howard, because it is the Christmas season, do you want to just offer any advice about Christmas? It seems like the expenses, you know, per person grow every year. And so any advice on how we keep that expense from sort of undoing our margin?
Yeah, the real key, and I'm not a guy who likes to use the word budget. I much prefer spending plan. But when it comes to Christmas, make sure you have a budget and you stick to it. My heart breaks when you realize that people who use credit cards to fund their Christmas gifts on average don't pay them off until October of the next year and spend about $700 using credit cards, credit card debt. So even if it means a year where you don't give expensive a gift as you'd like to, I much prefer to have you give something that's meaningful to family members, but doesn't get you into debt.
You know, we're talking a little about, you know, margin, and that's a pretty sobering statistic. You know, we think that we would have figured out credit cards. I mean, sometimes, they're a valuable tool, but to be sort of hanging on to Christmas till almost next Christmas, that's a problem, isn't it?
That is a problem, and it's just unnecessary. If you do a really good job of, number one, communicating with your family members in terms of your desire to stay out of debt, and then number two, if you can put something aside each and every month from your regular income for the purchase of the gifts, that's a far better way to go.
The Christmas Club kind of savings plan or something.
Yeah, absolutely, where you're just consistent. And Bev, I mean, my wife has her shopping done months before December 25th because she's got her list, and she's very careful, and she looks for deals, and that's a good way to go.
Good. You know, talking a little bit about the margin at Christmas, you know, there's not a lot of margin left anymore for a lot of people. Talk a little bit about, you know, building a safety net. I mean, some people, unemployment, of course, just medical expenses, any number of things, student debt. Margin is a rare thing. What advice would you offer for maybe starting or trying to build some safety net in?
Well, what we encourage people to do, Neil, essentially, is to follow a tool that we've developed. It's the Compass Money Map. They can go to our website and download it for free, and it basically has seven destinations on the journey to true financial freedom. And at destination one, one part of that is to save $1,000 for emergency. It's that first step. Even if they've got credit card debt, we encourage folks to make that a priority, because if you don't have, as you mentioned, that little safety net, and the refrigerator goes on the fritz or whatever challenge we might have, we have to whip out the plastic to pay for that if we don't have the money set aside for emergencies. So essentially, the best way to save for emergencies is to make it a priority. The first money you spend after you receive your income should be to give to the Lord. The second is to yourself into a savings account. And if you're consistent in doing that, even if it's a little bit, over a period of time, it'll make a big, big difference.
Take a call from Allison, listening in on line one, with a question. I think it sort of fits in with the money map question. Allison and her husband have paid off some loans and looking at what's next. Allison, you're on with Howard Dayton. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for having me. So my husband and I, we did a finance class, and we've paid off $50,000 of debt in 20 months. And just
good for you.
Did everything we could to just get rid of it. I'm self-employed, and my husband's a youth pastor, so we don't make a lot of money either. So we have $1,000, actually $1,500 in a savings plan. We have one last loan for $8,000, which we're hoping to pay off by June. And then we're kind of wondering what's next. His car is kind of going on the fritz. We have established a second savings account kind of for emergency specific things, like yearly, you know, things that cost us medical, you know, like our deductible and stuff like that. So we've tried to start that. We have a little vacation fund because we think that's important to take time away together, especially when we are doing ministry. But we don't know what's next. What else should we, you know, do we save for the car? Do we save for 6 months, you know, unemployment? Do we, like, what do we?
I think those are great questions.
They are great questions, and I'll tell you, I'm so proud of you guys for making such remarkable progress in a very short period of time. My objective would be to have at least 3 months of income set aside for emergencies, especially with you being self-employed, which typically equates into unpredictable income. So you want to have at least 6 months set aside for emergencies. And then I would just be a consistent saver. And you're really at that point, you're a destination four on the Compass map. And at destination four, you're saving for big purchases, for the car. If you don't own your home, for the down payment on the home. Do you own your home?
House, yeah, but we're under about, we're on a two-bedroom townhouse. I have two kids and a third on the way. So and my husband works about a half hour from our house. So we like to move eventually, but can't, we're working towards paying off that next part of that loan. Yeah.
That's great. I continue working on that and saving. I mean, you'll really, it's a prayerful decision with you and your husband. You know, how much out of that margin, out of that surplus after you've paid off all of your debts, do you want to save for retirement? Do you want to save to replace the car? Do you want to save for your children's education? Those are the big three when it comes to what to do with the margin. And it may be that you want to put 20% away for your children's education. You want to put, you know, 30% away for your retirement. I mean, the two of you can prayerfully and as you discuss it, decide how you want to allocate that extra money that you have coming in each month.
Allison, great question. And again, congratulations on that, the good work you're doing paying off those loans. We're going to talk more with Howard Dayton in just a moment and take a short break. You're welcome to join us as well. You have some questions, have some what next questions, give us a call at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. More with Howard Dayton in a moment. Thanks for tuning in to Connecting Faith. And today on this the Thursday edition, we're spending some time with Howard Dayton. Howard is a host on MoneyWise with Steve Moore. You hear him each afternoon at 2:30 here in Faith Radio. I hope you make a point to listen and to get great advice as always. Howard is founder and CEO of Compass. We mentioned that they've got some resources on their website. Howard, it's Compass, the number one, .org. Is that right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Compass. The number one, O-R-G. Howard's written a number of books, including Your Money Counts, Free and Clear, Money and Marriage, God's Ways. Got a couple of copies of that. We'll do a drawing for a giveaway at the end of the program today. Your Money Map, we mentioned the Compass Money Map. Howard, by the way, I should mention our phone number, too, if you'd like to join the conversation with a question or comment. It's 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Howard, mentioning the money map, there's, seven or so stations on that. Maybe just a little quick summary of what that map looks like and where it's going to get us.
Yeah, absolutely, Neil. Basically, it's the process that my wife and I went through to improve our financial life. And we realized that, as I mentioned earlier in the program, we had a lot of debt. We didn't have much in the way of saving. We weren't generous at all. But we did have a dream. And that dream was to work toward what we call true financial freedom. That would be a place where we wouldn't need a salary. Our savings, our retirement, and that sort of thing would be sufficient for us to be able to, if the Lord moved us to serve in a ministry or a church, we could do so without the need to have a salary. And he did allow us to do that. We recognized that in order to make progress, we just couldn't have that big dream. We had to break it down into bite-sized pieces with a priority built around what God's Word tells us about money. So we developed these seven destinations on the journey. Destination one, you save $1,000 for emergencies. You begin to give generously, and you get on a spending plan, a budget. Destination two, you increase your emergency savings to 1 month of living expenses, and you go ahead and start to pay off the plastic, get the plastic credit cards paid for. Destination three, you go ahead and increase your emergency savings again to 3 months of living expenses, and then you begin to focus on paying off your other consumer debts, such as your car, student loans, that sort of thing. Destination four is where you really turn the corner. You've got those consumer debts paid for, your plastic is paid for, and you begin to save. Really focus on saving and investing for the big ticket items, the purchase of the home, replacement for your vehicle, student education for your kids, and retirement. Destination five, you purchase a home, put 20% down. Destination six, you get your home paid for. And then destination seven is where you reach the point where you do have enough income so that you're completely financially free. And, not everybody's going to get there, but everybody can make progress, Lord willing. And sometimes we found it was, two steps forward, one step back. We didn't have any income for 6 months at one point. But the key is not to give up. To focus on the next destination on the journey, and Lord willing, you'll become healthier and healthier financially as you do it.
Howard, talk a little bit about as you talked about you and your wife kind of dreaming together, and I know you've written the book Money and Marriage, God's Ways. We hear a lot about, that the money becomes a real stress point, conflict point for many marriages. How do we get to that sort of together part? And what advice would you have for, husbands and wives to really, get together on the money plans?
Well, there's no question that it's a huge issue in a lot of marriages. one of the leading causes of divorce, even. And it was a challenge for us when we first got married. The key, I believe, is communication and being completely transparent and truthful with one another when it comes to money. The best way to address communication is what we call the weekly money date. When the couple gets together, they pray about their finances together. They go ahead and review their spending, what money came in, so they're both on the same page. They don't use this as an opportunity to squabble or to nag each other. Rather, it's just a fact-finding expedition together. And then when they make progress, like our first caller who has paid off so much debt, you know, when they pay off the first credit card, then they should celebrate. And doesn't have to cost a lot of money, but just something that's meaningful for them as a couple. And then it's really crucial for the husband and wife to be completely transparent with one another. Bev and I have separate credit cards, Neil, but she looks at my statement every single month when it comes in. I look at hers, you know, so there's total transparency and honesty in the financial arena. And what I've discovered is, as I'm a better, what I'll call a biblical husband, Ephesians 5 tells us, you know, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So the husband should be a sacrificial lover of his wife. And when I've grown in that respect, we haven't had one financial argument for the last decade. I mean, it's not anything close to a disagreement, and it's because we've matured in our love for one another. We've matured in Christ. I'm a much better husband than I was even 6 or 7 years ago when I wrote Money, Marriage, God's Way. That was the biggest thing for me. I grew as a biblical husband, which is so important in the marriage.
Probably got rid of your $100 pickup truck. Maybe it just didn't hurt either. Kind of cleaned up a little bit there around the house. Howard Dayton.
Hey, listen, that $100 truck, I loaned it to a neighbor, and she painted it. It looked like a $200 truck. Then I ended up selling it for $700. I've never made a penny on any car before.
Oh.
So the $100 truck was a blessing. An embarrassing blessing, I would say, but a blessing.
Oh, man. Howard Dayton is a host on Money Wise, along with Steve Moore. He's the founder, CEO of Compass, teaching Money God's Way. It's compass1.org. A caller, Jane, called in and asked, she said, my nieces and their nephews don't know the Lord. Their father passed away and left them an inheritance that is quickly disappearing. The three of them are flying up here to stay with me this month, and I would love to do some sort of money management night while they're staying with me. He said, what resources can I use to help them? And she says, can I teach them biblical principles if they don't know Christ?
Yeah, absolutely you can, because they're the truth, and the Spirit of God is still interested in working in their lives, and it would be a great gift that she could give to her nieces to understand that you have to it's not rocket science. You spend less than you earn, and then you save and invest the rest. To encourage them to bring their lifestyle spending under control. Teach them that the Bible says that the borrower is slave to the lender. By this guy, Solomon, wrote that. And that's so true. And then the Lord tells us in Proverbs again that the wise man saves for the future, the foolish man spends whatever he gets. So there's a lot of truth and a lot of, there's a lot of wonderful tools out there today, Neil. They could use mint.com, which is a free budgeting system. It's a free app for a smartphone. It's very effective. So she could serve them in a number of ways, but certainly not dissipating the inheritance would ultimately be a blessing to them.
Good word. It's mint.
And that really surfaces the importance of teaching our kids and grandkids to handle money responsibly, because if you don't teach wisdom before they get wealth, often it's just frittered away.
Good word. Teach wisdom before wealth. Speaking of inheritance, let's take Nancy's call. She's in line two, calling from Prescott, Wisconsin. Nancy, you're on with Howard Dayton. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Love the program, Howard. Listen to it often.
Thank you, Nancy.
Trying to get my husband on board with the money dates.
it's a process.
It is. My question is, my father passed away in May, sadly, and I have come into probably about $300,000 in inheritance. And I'm trying to figure out, my husband and I are trying to figure out the best direction to go. We went upside down on our mortgage, and we have a second mortgage or a home equity loan that we took out and actually helped us when my health went bad and we couldn't make payments. And anyway, like you said, you were without an income for a while. We were. So I'm trying to figure out here, what is the best use of this inheritance? Because we're upside down, it's trouble. However, do we take a portion of that and pay down that mortgage so that we can refinance it and go to like a 10 or 15 year mortgage and use the mortgage payment we're paying now to pay twice, because it would like cut the mortgage payment in half? I mean, do you see where I'm going with this?
I certainly do. It's a blessing when a parent or grandparent leaves an inheritance. Despite the sorrow of the loss, I really admire your dad so much for doing this. Basically, how much debt do you have altogether?
Both cars will be paid off. My husband's car is paid off. My car will be paid off in January. So essentially we have the mortgage, the first and the second mortgage, which is between the two, $387,000 for the first and second mortgage, because, like I said, everything else is paid off.
Yes, yes. And what interest rate are you paying on the first mortgage?
7.18. And then the second is 9.
Yeah, I'd pay off the second, and then what I'd do exactly what you're suggesting. I'd pay the first mortgage down to a place where I could get it refinanced. You'll save just a ton of money on interest by having that financed today. On a 15-year loan, it's under 4%. So that's exactly what I'd do. I would, not invade at all, but I would, pray that the Lord would not only allow you to have a 15-year mortgage, but that you could prepay the mortgage consistently on a monthly basis to get it paid off in maybe 10 years, something like that. How old are you now?
I am 57 and my husband is 62.
Yes. Well, one of the most important things for us as we get older is to try to limit our lifestyle expenses. Obviously paying off the second mortgage will help a lot, getting the lower interest rate, but then ultimately being able to get the house paid for will eliminate your largest expense. So that would be my objective, but I think you all are right on the nose in terms of what to do.
Nancy, thanks for your call. Thanks for listening to MoneyWise, too, with Howard and Steve, and glad to have you on the program today. We've got about 10 minutes or so left, and we've got a couple other questions we want to get to. We're talking about mortgages. We'll get some perspective on, paying off mortgages or paying into retirement accounts. We have a caller has a question about IRAs. We'll get to that with Howard Dayton and more in just a moment. 877-93-FAITH is the phone number. Howard Dayton with us, host of MoneyWise and founder and CEO of Compass. You can find out more about their resources online at compassone.org.
Radio companionship that's good for the soul.
I'd probably say it was just a leading of the Holy Spirit to, all right, listen, if you're going to have the radio on, at least do something good for yourself. I'm sure we will be amazed when we get to heaven and we find out what an impact it has made on people, and we never really realized it. Faith Radio is going to give you the opportunity to continue on that walk.
Connecting faith to life every day. Thanks for listening to Faith Radio.
Human trafficking. It's modern-day slavery, and it's happening right here in North America. This is John Fuller, and next time on Focus on the Family, a compelling story of a young woman's personal experience being lured away from home by abductors to be sold to the highest bidder. That's next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
9:30 each morning on Faith Radio.
Past the hour, and you're listening to Connecting Faith, talking to Howard Dayton today. He's host of Money Wise. You'll hear he and Steve this afternoon and each weekday afternoon at 2:30 here on Faith Radio. I encourage you to make it a point to listen to get some good perspective. Handling Money God's Way, great insight and encouragement, and great resources available, too, through his writing, his books, and the resources available online at compassone.org. Howard, we're talking a little bit about our last caller, Nancy, had a question about mortgage. You know, it seems like that is a question about, do we pay off mortgage or do we put it into retirement accounts? Has anything changed in terms of your thoughts about how we handle mortgages?
Neil, I've had an unusually large number of callers ask this very question, so much so recently that I've just been more open, I guess, to folks taking some of the funds out of their retirement to pay off the mortgage, because I think the Lord is up to something. I just feel like he's stirring in the heart of his people to get out of debt as much as possible, even to include the home mortgage. So I don't encourage folks to invade all their retirement, that's for sure, but if it means taking, you know, $10,000 out of a $50,000 retirement account to, whack $10,000 off your mortgage, and then just pray and let the Lord speak to you about, you know, what you should do, what could you do to accelerate the repayment of that mortgage. And that's been my recommendation recently for people.
Okay. Howard, I had a caller who couldn't stay in the line, but says, can my husband and I have more than one IRA?
The answer to that is yes. I mean, you can individually have an IRA. In fact, you cannot have one as a couple. It would be individual. And as long as you have one wage earner, you could have a stay-at-home mom, for example, who has an IRA, but she can put some of her husband's earnings not only in his IRA but in hers as well. So I really encourage people, as listeners to the program have probably heard, to get a Roth IRA if at all possible, because of the benefit of paying no taxes on the Roth when you ultimately take the money out. And we just don't know what our tax rate's going to be in the future. My hunch is it'll be more than today, just to be able to fund these huge federal deficits.
You know, that I was going to say, you're a wise man, but that didn't take a lot of wisdom to make that prediction. But
that's, no,
sadly, so you can't transfer an existing IRA into a Roth, though, can you? Or I mean, anytime you take
it
out.
Yeah, you can transfer it, but you pay taxes on what you transfer. Now, Bev and I actually did that, but we transferred it over a 3-year period so that we wouldn't bump ourselves up to a higher tax bracket. But we did that, you know, probably 15 years ago, just because that made sense to us to do that.
You are taxed at your current sort of rate, right? Anything you take out your retirement account, right?
Exactly right. And as long as it's transferred from the traditional to the Roth, you don't have to pay the 10% penalty, but you do have to pay the income tax.
Sure. Okay, got a couple of minutes left. Do you want to talk a little bit about the stock market record levels? Does that mean anything?
Well, anytime you have record levels in anything, I'm always a little I look at it with a jaundiced eye. I'm just not sure, particularly these days, if it really supports the levels that it's at. Bev and I have a little bit invested in the stock market. We pray for the Lord's direction on it, and certainly try to keep a finger on the pulse of things. And we only invest in stocks that pay a dividend, so it tends to mute any drop when you have at least some income coming from the stocks. But before we leave, I do want to say, Neil, not to interrupt you, but
that's fine.
Very much view our relationship with Faith Radio as a partnership. We cannot thank you all, Neil, for your graciousness in allowing us to be on this amazing station. And Christian radio had a huge impact on me after I met Christ way back in 1971. And there's no way that I can communicate how important it is for us to support Christian radio. So I would just encourage the listeners, if they're in the place right now where they're praying about their year-end giving, not to forget Faith Radio and the great work that they're doing.
Well, we appreciate you as well, Howard, and just love the opportunity to connect when we can. And this is a great time to just give us a fresh reminder again that God's way of handling money is the best way, and that leads to blessings beyond the finances when we put Him first.
Amen.
Howard Dayton joining us today. He's founder and CEO of Compass and the host of MoneyWise. Check out the resources on their website, compassone.org, and make sure you listen each afternoon at 2:30 for Howard and Steve right here on Faith Radio. Howard, Merry Christmas to you. Blessings. Glad to visit today.
Thank you, Neil. Just love the time with you. God bless you.
Howard Dayton joining us today on Connecting Faith. We've got a couple minutes left, and in the remaining few minutes, I do want to talk about a wonderful partnership that we're in this month with the Prison Fellowship. As you know, they are familiar with them. You know that they've been involved in a program called Angel Tree since the 80s, and it has just continued to grow in amazing ways. This year, the goal to reach over 425,000 children of incarcerated parents. You think that's a huge number, but that's just a fraction. There are 2.7 million children in America that have a parent or two incarcerated. And what our partnership is all about is saying, are you willing to help reach some kids, so that every child whose name is offered is able to receive a gift and the gospel? And here's a little reminder.
Michael Carrion, pastor at Promised Land Covenant Church in New York City, the Bronx, shares an Angel Tree story that is very personal.
Let me tell you the story about a little 9-year-old boy. His mom and dad were heroin addicts, and they paid for their habit by taking that little boy and his younger sister up to people's homes, knocking on their doors, and asking for a drink of water for their children. Once inside, the couple would pull out knives and guns. They would begin to tie up and just rob and pillage every apartment they walked into. As you can imagine, the children who were exposed to this life of trauma and violence were damaged goods. They were lost, fearful, broken. The father is arrested. Several weeks after that, so is the mother. The grandparents of these children had rose up as a champion and fought for them not to go into the foster care system. Soon after that, just before Christmas, there was a knock at the door. There's a tall African-American gentleman there, and he asks the grandmother, "Is Mike and is Letty home?" And as they come to the door, This tall man says, I know that your mother and father can't be here with you, but they love you. And these gifts are for you. Daddy can't be here. Mommy can't be here. But we want you to know that Jesus is here for you. As this man prayed, you felt a presence come into the hallway of this project building. Years later, this young man goes down the same path that his parents went, finds himself addicted to crack cocaine. He has a friend that tells him, I'm not going to leave you lost. He's taken to an evangelistic outreach service. As this young man is responding to that call, he remembers the visit of a man in the project hallway. Life changed for this young man. Soon gets involved with the local church and learns that Jesus stepped out of glory, put on humanity, so that he would not be lost. My name is Reverend Dr. Michael Carrion, and more than 20 years later, God has continued to work a miracle in my life. That seed planted that day positioned me to respond to the call of Christ, to perpetually serve, to reach out and to evangelize on Rikers Island. We covet your prayers here in the South Bronx. There are so many kids that are lost. Pray for the Angel Tree kids, not only in the South Bronx, but all over the country. I believe that revival will start because of Angel Tree seeds that are planted by the missionaries that would bring the good news.
Pastor Michael Carrion pastors a church right in the neighborhood where his parents were arrested. He also planted 6 churches in the Bronx, with plans for 14 more. Pastor Michael was an Angel Tree kid. This year, there are hundreds, perhaps thousands of little boys just like Mike who could grow up to be dedicated, humble, eager servants in God's kingdom. In every case, it starts with an Angel Tree gift, which means it starts with you. Please call 1-855-50-ANGEL. That's 1-855-50-ANGEL.
Or take a moment to go online at myfaithradio.com. It's myfaithradio.com, and right on the front page you can connect and make a gift. $73.50 will help reach 6 kids, Angel Tree. Or maybe you can do more, or do $12.25. But thank you for all you can do for partnering with us and helping share a gift and the gospel this Christmas through Angel Tree. Myfaithradio.com is where you'll find details. Myfaithradio.com. And you'll see it right on the front page. Thanks for listening.